Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and SiriusXM 206 on this Friday across the country. Set it up inside of our Quicken Loans, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Got a little Tiger on the tube, watch a little golf, do a little college hoops today, do a little Colin Kaepernick today, do a little Pelicans today. What up, T?
All's good, man. Tiger just bogeyed again. Looking a little lackadaisical.
He was rolling, though. He ripped all four birds in a row.
But then he got lackadaisical. Hey. Burt and bogeyed, but he just ripped that driveway. That drive.
Did he pipe one? I didn't see the drive.
Right down the middle.
Okay. All right, so we got the
keep an eye on
open.
Tiger. Yeah, that's what we do. We keep an eye on Tiger.
We always do that for you. It's a good leaderboard. Rory's out there. Spieth is out there. DJ's out there. Obviously, some good golf coming up this weekend on CBS. Yeah, we certainly will get to the Kaepernick stuff. We'll do that in hour two. Admiral Schofield, the guard for Tennessee, number one, the Vols in the nation as we get to the nitty-gritty part of the college hoop season.
And they're balling. What is that, 18 in a row?
18 or 19. I think it's 18.
Wow.
I mean, they're just in general. I mean, if you're a team that is on the bubble, you better start making your move. Mm-hmm. If you think you're firmly entrenched, you better not stumble. If you have designs on a number one or a top two seed, you better not stumble. And we get to this point now, as much as we can try to project what we think the field's going to look like, what really keeps it tough to really diagnose it is when you have like a one-bid league or a two-bid league and a team that was quote-unquote bad, middle of the pack, somehow wins the conference tournament.
Yeah.
In essence, they steal the bid from a team from a power conference. Again, in theory, that was on the bubble, on the right side of the bubble. So it's a great time of the year.
It
we
is.
Love this, obviously.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Golf is kicking in. Freddie Couples even hanging around.
Freddie. What a life Boom Boom's got.
Ah, you're right.
Freddie Boom Boom.
We got the Alliance games again this weekend, which we'll talk about later in the show as well. See if they can keep the momentum that they generated from week one, which was fantastic. A couple of highlight level plays and push that into week two and beyond. Obviously, if you don't know, there's 10 weeks in the regular season. Actually, 8 weeks in the regular season and 2 weeks of playoffs with the championship being out in Las Vegas on CBS. I'll be out there for that. I haven't been to Vegas in forever.
Where'd you get that sweatshirt,
so,
by
the way? Remember last year at the Super Bowl when we did the...
Oh, that's from last year?
Yeah, this is 52.
What number is it? 52? Okay.
So remember last year at the Super Bowl, we did that talk about these players as who's the best running back in whatever history or what was the
on
best
our show or did was
no,
it something
no,
else
it was
we
NFL
did.
Films you did
oh
it.
Yeah of course yeah. So they sent you that
they sent it to you too. I don't know why you
I
don't
didn't
have
get it.
It came here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so somebody probably housed yours.
What?
I'm serious. It's NFL films.
Oh, Mike, that thing is sweet. They sent me the DVDs, which are useless. I don't want to watch myself.
I got the DVDs.
I always
and this
get
came
the DVDs. I didn't get any of that.
Ah, someone housed you.
Somebody housed it. House music all night long. Say what? All right, let's get to the Pelicans. Dell Demps got fired. All right, listen. I want to preface everything I'm about to say with Dell Demps. I want to make sure I give this man... at least in terms of his path, the proper respect that it deserves. Dell Demps clawed his way to relevance. Dell Demps played at Pacific in the late 80s and early 1990s, did not get drafted, played for the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Magic over the course of like 20 games. I mean, literally went the entire globe. He played from the CBA to Croatia. Yeah. I mean, if there was a court and there was a ball and there was a paycheck... Dell Demps found his way there.
Yakima Sun Kings, he played for it.
Yakima
Sun Kings.
Mm-hmm. He was all over.
Then he was in Zagreb.
He's all over. We've established that. All over.
I just love reading this.
I know.
It's like, what? Why would you do that? He's only there for
why
like...
would he do it? Because, I don't know, because the Boston Celtics didn't want him.
Okay, but
that's
I mean...
probably why you do it.
It's just funny.
It's called necessity.
But BT, it's every year.
Yeah,
I'm just
I know.
Looking at it.
Well, that's why I have a lot of respect for his grind. As a grinder,
yes.
As a general manager, as we get to the story today, He's absolutely terrible, and he deserved to get fired. Horrendous contract to Solomon Hill. Foolishly, back in 2012, he matched a $60 million deal for that the Suns had out an offer sheet for Eric Gordon when Gordon was really banged up. He signed Omar Asik to 5 years, $60 million back in 2015. That. I mean, you know, Dell Demps has done. He's bad. And I got to be honest with you. When David Stern called him a lousy GM back in October of this past year, he wasn't really wrong.
No,
David Stern.
It just sounded mean.
Yes, it did. And it seemed it sounded unbecoming of somebody from that position.
Agreed.
You don't need to say that once you leave.
Agreed.
Your commissioner's, you know, throne.
I 100% agree. But when you
okay, if we say it though.
But yeah, but
that's the point.
But if you take it, we were distracted by the. I don't know, the unbecomingness of it,
mm-hmm.
that we didn't think about what he actually was saying. What he was actually saying was true.
Oh, there's no question.
And how he mismanaged, mishandled, misperceived this L.A. Laker trade to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis situation only exacerbated
mm-hmm.
The circumstances even more. It's one thing to jack around with a team in a trade scenario. Like, you can do that. Who cares at the end of the day? But this became so public, and it became so disruptive to his team that you almost don't have a choice but to move on from him, especially if he orchestrated it the way that it's being perceived, and I believe that he did, that it was orchestrated. We saw this over the last couple of games. This New Orleans Pelicans team played terrible the last couple. It's interesting what happened last night when Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. who got a bruise on his shoulder, muscle, it's a contusion. It's nothing overly serious, but he left the game.
Yeah, of course. You just knew that was going to happen to make this even worse.
Ultimately leaves the arena.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
With his agent, Rich Paul. And then guess what?
Before the game ended, to your point.
That's what I mean. He got hurt
just at
halftime.
Just in case people didn't know that.
He left during
the game.
The arena.
Which is rare. Unless you are
exactly.
Gordon Hayward and you're getting, you know, transported to a trauma unit
exactly.
because your leg snaps into nine pieces
yep.
on opening night, 3 minutes into your Celtics career, that's one thing. A little shoulder contusion looks incredibly unprofessional and petulant.
Yes. Go sit on the bench. Support your teammates.
Yep.
Do whatever you need to do.
I don't even care if you're in the locker room. Get nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be there for your team.
Yes.
He's got it. I mean, this has been mangled in so many different directions. Now I don't really know what they should do.
And by the way, the Pelicans played great in the second half, and they ended up winning the game.
They won the game.
They probably would have won anyways, but after he left. But they won the game.
They won the game.
Especially after how they played in the previous games. And this is against the Thunder. This isn't against the
Slouch. I know.
Right? They beat the Thunder after Anthony Davis only played for a half.
What do they do? Because here's the thing.
You sit him down for the rest of the year.
I totally agree.
You have to.
At this point, you have to. Now, they've been threatened with a $100,000 fine, whatever. Take it on the chin. Mm-hmm. I know it's easy for us to spend somebody else's money. We're doing that with Cooch and the stupid caddy gate thing that's still going on for some reason. Cooch still hasn't paid. I mean, Matt Mooch, pardon me. He still hasn't paid up yet.
He's not going to.
It's easy to spend other people's money. I get that. And I think sometimes people do that a little bit too freely.
Yeah.
But in this instance, for the betterment of your franchise, for the morale of your franchise, Anthony Davis, hey, listen, you're not going to play another second here. We're going to take down your name placard.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you nowhere visibly around the arena in terms of marketing or branding. You will remain out of the intro when we play at home for the crowd, for the pregame introductions with the music, the montage. You got to go.
Yeah.
And we'll take it on the chin and pay. What's that going to be about? I don't know how many games do they have left here. They're probably about how many games do they have left? 25-ish, 24-ish?
Grabbing their schedule up. Yeah, there's 25
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a pro team should be able to absorb that, and maybe down the road the NBA could even do the right thing and maybe somehow get them a check when nobody's. Even though it's hard to do that with nobody knowing, I don't know. Find some common ground, but he can't play anymore. He can't be there.
Yeah, 50.
And really, Dell Demps couldn't be there anymore either.
Yeah, 23 games left.
23 games to go. All right, so it's not a mere pittance. It's not like it's, you know, let me reach into my pocket and once I separate the lint, I can give the poor homeless person some change.
But
I mean, that's money, but the bigger, in the grand scheme.
The bigger issue, BT, is this team has to feel like you're going forward. And with Anthony Davis there, it's frustratingly sitting still or going backwards. Jahlil Okafor is getting more minutes over the last couple of games. Actually played well last night.
He flashed a couple of weeks back. He had a little run where Okafor was playing terrific.
Yeah, exactly. When he was out.
Yeah.
When AD was out, Jahlil Okafor got just getting some more minutes. He's gotten some more minutes over the last couple of games, and he's taking advantage of it.
He got in shape. His body looks different.
That's exactly right. He lost some pounds. He's not, you know, up to 280 like he used to be. He's down probably 265 or so, and it's showing. And look, are they going to be viable? No. Are they going to be viable next year?
No.
Probably not. But you got to give these guys something to play for. They got to feel like they're playing forward for something and not stuck in this, I don't know.
This treadmill that's going to go nowhere.
Yeah, but it's even worse than that. It's not even a treadmill. It's like ugliness, right? They're just stuck in the muck.
Yeah, you know? I hear you. At least a treadmill, you get in shape.
True.
I mean, there's some benefits to being on a treadmill.
Exactly.
You actually exert some energy.
And when we all know that it doesn't actually roll downhill, doesn't roll downhill, it goes uphill.
It does.
The one ultimately in charge, Dell Demps, he takes the bullet for this, and it is what it is.
Oh, by the way, he's been there since 2010. So if he was just brought in a year and a half ago, then I'd be on the air saying, whoa, 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 whoa. This is utterly unfair, almost reprehensible to use him as the point man, as the face of discontent, the man who ruined the deal and, you know, was not forthright in his dealings with the Lakers, however you want to position it. This guy's had a chance for almost 10 years
to get this team moving in the right direction. Anthony Davis has been there for a few years now, and you haven't done enough around it.
No, not even close. Yeah,
you can't lure the big-time free agents. New Orleans is a tough place. We get it. It's tough.
Jason Tatum doesn't think it's that tough, possibly, if you believe what he said the other day.
I think Jason Tatum wants to be the man. And he wants to go somewhere where he can be that guy.
Mm.
And New Orleans is a place, because they'll be void of a superstar post-AD, where he can be the man. And look, I got to be honest with you. When I heard that, I kind of said, good for Jason Tatum, honestly. Right? You know it's an impossible task, but it doesn't mean you're unwilling to take it on.
Yeah, I'd rather somebody stick around and try to win. Not that he's going to try to lose in New Orleans, but he got a chance to maybe win a chip. Maybe. I mean, that's a bit ambitious from where the Celtics sit right now. But I don't know. I'd rather, if I'm the Celtics, there's no way I would trade Jason Tatum.
No, there's no way I would.
I mean, I'm talking about
Jason Tatum. From Jason Tatum's standpoint, if he knows that he's expendable in some people's minds and an asset to move just so they can get better and win a championship without him, I completely understand.
Oh, that's a fair response. I get you on that level.
I understand what he's saying. Yeah, I get it.
I got you.
I'd do the same thing. Yeah. All right, you don't want me. Well, see how great I can be somewhere else then.
Yeah. And have a good time on Bourbon Street every night, too. He washes out his career. Poor guy gets ruined. I do think this opens up a really interesting question about what Anthony Davis needs to do for the All-Star game. Think about this. Mm. He got hurt. I mean, the irony here is just dripping through the microphone. I mean, he gets hurt.
You're right.
I know it's not a serious injury, but it's serious enough for him to leave. And now it's serious enough for all sorts of conjecture as to what he should do at the All-Star game, which is something you and I could get into coming up next. In addition to Scottie Pippen having 9 opinions, seemingly, on the same topic. That's LeBron and MJ, Tiki and Tierney. Get to it all, CBS Sports Radio.
The right hire can really make an impact on your business. When we hired Fathusio, finding the right talent was of the utmost importance. That was a company that I founded about 6 years ago. Now, you can post your jobs on job boards and hope that you'll find the right person for the job. But think about it. How often do you yourself check job boards? 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insight from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find the person who will help you grow your business. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Tiki and get $50 off your first job post now. That's LinkedIn.com/Tiki to save $50. LinkedIn.com/Tiki. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki and Tierney brought to you by Geico. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Quick way to save a little money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Yeah, we're back. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206. So, Scottie Pippen. Scottie likes to vacillate.
He does.
That's a good word for Scottie, at least with this.
That's a great word, too.
Vacillating Pippen, right? He vacillates every time he's asked on this.
He's kind of like talking about himself, too, though. That's the part of the problem.
Okay, go ahead. I don't see it that way.
Because you talk about Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons that Jordan was great was because his sidekick was Scottie Pippen. So when this debate arises about who is the best, who's the GOAT, current generation, and we're not going to go back into the Oscar Robertson era. That's pre-us.
But why are you hating on the old G's?
I'm not at all. I just never saw them play.
Why are you hating on the old G's? I can set up the whole league.
I can look at their stats and say, yeah, he was fantastic. I never saw him dunk.
I hear you. I'm messing around, of course.
I never saw him cross somebody up or do a finger roll off the glass, high off the glass, like Kyrie used to.
Yeah.
Like Kyrie
Pousy, does. Pousy, Havlicek, exactly. Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Pistol Pete for a couple of years when he made the All-Star team. I got you.
Exactly. So it's often just LeBron and Jordan. And when you think about LeBron James, there's a number of sidekicks, right? And kind of not even sidekicks because they were almost equal in some regards. Like Dwayne Wade in Miami. I know LeBron went down there and he became the guy, but it was Dwayne's team. You know what I mean? So in some ways, LeBron was his sidekick. But it's always been like that. There's moving parts to LeBron's career from Miami. Then you get to back to Cleveland where Kyrie is the guy and Kevin Love, and now he's out in Los Angeles with all these young guys. When you talk about Michael Jordan, you're talking about six championships, a number of consecutive great years, and his consistent sidekick is Scottie Pippen. Mm-hmm. And you almost can't talk about Michael Jordan and his championship winning two three-peats without, in the next sentence, mentioning, well, Scottie Pippen was an all-timer as well.
Uh-huh.
So in some ways,
yeah, but here's the thing:
it's a little bit self-serving.
It is, but he hasn't always said that Michael Jordan is the greatest. Mm-hmm. That's why I call him vacillating Scottie.
I hear you.
So here's the latest chapter in the shifting opinions, and he actually invokes Kobe Bryant into it. He brings up Kobe's name. The Mamba's now a part of the equation. So he was on First Take, right? This is where this came from. Quote: when I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was as a player. He's not even what Kobe Bryant was as a player. So when you talk about trying to compare Michael's instincts and his ability to take over games, his ability to want to have the last shot, LeBron doesn't have that gene.
Now, that's true.
Now, I don't disagree with that part. That's not in him. Kobe has that gene. I see a little bit of that in Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Westbrook. Not too many players go on the basketball court with that. Now, that is a really interesting, intelligent statement.
Yes.
But that's only one aspect of being great, the clutchness or the willingness. And by the way, I do think it's a little bit overstated how much LeBron shies away from taking the big shots. I mean, that's really unfair to characterize him that way. But MJ was the ultimate closer, so we can't waste time saying LeBron's better there.
But, LeBron does the right thing, even if it feels wrong because whoever he kicks it out to misses the shot.
Well, the play with George Hill, when he passed up to George Hill.
Exactly. He makes the right play almost all the time.
But so did MJ. Think about the visual with Steve Kerr knocking down the three.
Yeah.
The huddle where it's Jordan said, I'm coming to you. They're going to double team me, and I'm coming to you.
And
Steve Kerr said, I'll hit it.
But what's the iconic moment?
Well, that's when he pushes off Brian Russell, and boom, it just literally bang.
That's his Utah. Is that his iconic moment?
I think
In the championship game.
Can I give you his three iconic moments?
Yeah, go ahead. Because that's got to be one.
I got three.
Because that one sticks in my head. And that's the one that I see when I think about Michael winning a championship. Mm-hmm. I think pushing him across.
Yeah.
Sorry, foul.
Oh, yeah, a little push
off
right
foul.
There.
I mean,
yeah. Get out of my way.
He still had to knock down the shot.
You're just a prop. This is my stage. You're a prop.
Exactly.
Move.
You didn't quite fall for the crossover.
Yeah.
But, basically, it was kind of like a mini step back. Whatever.
A little bit.
You didn't quite fall for it, so let me help you fall for it.
Let me just push you along.
But that's the one that sticks with me. What are the other two?
I've got three. And they're all
three others?
No, two others.
Okay, go ahead.
And they're all non-dunks. I mean, we could go through the dunks, but The first one to me, the first image that I think of Jordan is when he's crossing up Larry Bird and he scored 63. I think it was 63.
Those were the original.
The overtime game.
Those were the original Air Jordans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was his first playoffs.
Yeah, they were sweet, too.
And he crossed up Bird. It had to be. It was like, boom, boom, boom. And I always joke that for every three dribbles through his legs, Bird reacted once. Like, he was so far behind the sequence athletically. And then, of course, he sticks the shot. That's the first thing. The second one.
That one's a good one, too.
That's a money one. The second one for me, and this is more because it was his first, like, real victory stamp, was when he knocked down the jump shot against Craig Elo. And he jumps in the air against Cleveland, yes, Brad Daugherty, true. And those guys. Mark Price, good
true.
Team.
Yes.
Really good team. And he punctuates it like that. He's wearing the red away. And you could just see him. He jumps so high.
Yeah, it's like he hung there forever,
right?
Too.
He
just jumped and just like, all right, you're going to fall. All right, now I can shoot.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's what it felt like.
And the third one was the one that you just brought up. Yeah. Those are three. Of course, there's a million dunks and everything else. You know, championship. The other one against the Lakers when he's going up for the layup.
Yep.
And
he didn't have to.
Which, by the way, was completely unnecessary.
Of course it was.
Let me show off a little bit here. What temperature is it? It's nice and cool up here. Let me switch hands. Let me rock. I mean, he didn't have to do that.
No, he didn't.
But he did it, and it went down. So, bottom line is this. I think that the clutch gene is a conversation that, even though we had a little fun with it, we don't need to waste time comparing MJ to LeBron. Mm-hmm. Where I take real issue with what Scottie Pippen said, don't tell me Kobe Bryant's better than LeBron James. I don't want to hear it. I don't even want to debate it.
I don't
want to hear it, and I don't want to debate
it. Well, debate is the championships. The debate is the championships in that Kobe has five. And that
kind of helps when you have Shaq. In his prime.
I don't disagree with you. You
know, and Phil Jackson.
And Phil Jackson, of course. All the circumstances around. And Kobe, I think there's just also the tenacity of Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kobe was that guy, athlete, who would step on your throat.
No doubt about it.
And, well, and LeBron is really good, but he doesn't have that. You know what I mean?
It's also a different NBA.
It is.
He can't be as fierce.
That's true. It's true.
Like Kobe actually fought Chris Childs.
I know.
Like,
he was
I remember that game. Kobe had some fights.
His DNA was shaped by the era that he played in because you had to be. You couldn't be soft.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. If you weren't a superstar.
Exactly.
You may have been an all-star. There's no soft superstars.
It's why I have such respect for Dwayne Wade
mm-hmm.
because he pushes back into that era also. And he spent so much of his career in the post. You know,
mid-range.
He had no business being down there because he's little. But he was always there. He was tough as hell. He'd always get to the rim. He'd take the shot. He'd get right back up. That's why his body's breaking down over the last 3 or 4 years.
More than that.
Yeah.
More than that.
Yeah,
remember
right.
the Gatorade commercial where they had the series of
good
him
point.
Being – but there was a point 4 or 5 years in where, like, man, is this guy going to make it to 10 years?
Yeah, you're right.
Like he was really
– right. Because he wasn't afraid of it. He was
exactly.
tough.
And you got to respect it. You love that
now,
about
Kobe was tough. Now, I'm not saying LeBron's not tough, but LeBron's a bully. You know what I mean? There's a physicality to LeBron that can't be checked because of the NBA rules, right? I remember early on in LeBron's career, you'd watch him, and he'd be on a fast break, and I used to think he was a running back. Like, he'd start dribbling, mm-hmm. and you'd just see him, like, start to dip his shoulder, like his off-ball shoulder. He'd just start to dip his shoulder. I'm like, dude, what's this guy going to do? It doesn't matter who's defending him. It doesn't matter if it's a big man or a guard. It doesn't matter,
mm-hmm.
right? He's just going to put his shoulder into him. He's going to, you know, protect the ball because his body was so wide. LeBron's got this enormous back, right? He's going to protect the ball, put his shoulder into a guy like a running back, and easily lay the ball into the goal. And so it's... If that was old school, I mean, the flagrant fouls on LeBron would have been amazing, like mm-hmm. violent, like very violent if he played in the 90s, in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to deal with it. It's not his fault. He just didn't have to deal with it. And so I think there's a debate for Kobe because Kobe had to be tough because of the era that he played in, and he won 5 championships.
Which is interesting because if you think about the way Kobe was raised going over to Italy, you wouldn't think that I'm half Italian. By no means am I saying Italians are soft. It's the complete opposite. A lot of grit and spirit, of course. But, you know, you wouldn't think that that's going to toughen you up like, you know, a neighborhood like up in Harlem or in
True.
Chicago or in Philly
mm-hmm.
or somewhere in South Central L.A., it's just a different existence. So I don't know where. And to be honest, I'm not so sure that. I guess you have to be born with that assassin-like mentality. We always, you're either funny or you're not. You're either witty or you're not. And I do think at the end, you're either tough or you're not. But I think that it was like in a reserve tank that didn't come out until a little later in life. because the early Kobe seemed a little reclusive. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Well, he was shy. It was like it was almost like he was shy, like an introvert, even though he wasn't.
Yeah,
it's like what do they have that new word for it? Is it ambivert? Ambivert. Yeah, so he's like half introvert, half extrovert, depending on the.
So wouldn't that just make him normal?
Like, yeah,
wouldn't that make him balanced? But half introvert, half extrovert.
They've identified it.
Who's they?
Ambivert.
It's who's they?
Psychology.
Oh,
Now.
Please.
I'm telling you. Look
good
it
God.
Up.
Oh, I don't challenge the you know, the authenticity of that statement. I'm just challenging.
But I know what you're saying. He used to feel quiet.
Got to come up with a word for that?
He used to feel quiet, and he doesn't anymore.
And then he turned into the Mamba.
Yes.
And I say this.
By the way, self-identified, right? Self-named.
Yeah, that was after the Denver situation. Probably the dumbest thing anybody could ever say on a radio show is, I will not debate, which I did before. But I'm not debating whether or not Kobe's better than LeBron. I'm not going to waste my time. LeBron James is better. You want to tweet us, we'll read them. You know what? You want to call, you want to talk to Tiki, go for it. 855-212-4227. And by the way, I actually like Kobe Bryant more than I like LeBron James. I would rather root for Kobe, like on my team, than LeBron James. But in terms of all-around greatness, diversity, LeBron's superior. I don't know how anybody can frame it otherwise. I just don't see it. Teak, we have inbounds, out of bounds here. Everybody's out today, so let's see what kind of menu we have. We're handing it all to the JV team. Let's see, we got a little something on.
Take that, Connor.
Connor.
Dan, did you contribute, Dan?
No, he didn't contribute. Does he look like he contributed?
Nah, he's just chilling.
Danny is chilling. How was your Valentine's Day, Danny? You said you had a girlfriend, right? Good time? Huh?
Yes, no.
It was, she is in grad school.
Oh, he's in grad school?
So we're celebrating tonight because she's coming home for the weekend.
Okay. Where's he studying? Where's he go to school? Did you say?
Syracuse.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Okay. All right.
That school.
All right. Who's picking up the check?
That would be me.
Ah!
He's in school. Of course you are.
Hey, listen. Well, wait, he's working here? He's going to pick up the check? He's going to pick up the check. Are we paying him?
He's got a J-O-B.
He got a job. It's Friday. I got no job. But the inbounds, out of bounds is interesting. A little something here on the a former Ravens teammate of Joe Flacco just leveled him and basically said he's going to crash and burn in Denver. Wow. Ooh, we'll get to that.
I've got
a little something on the... James Harden, you got a little something on Antonio Brown as well, and whether or not it could work in San Francisco if it comes to that. So we have inbounds, out of bounds coming up. Don't waste my time with the Kobe and LeBron calls. You want to tweet us, we'll read them, I promise, and you can talk to Tiki, but I can't have that conversation. LeBron's better. Jay Berman's update coming at you right now. Here's Jay.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us. Are we the pros, Tiki? Is that the way this is framed here?
I think we're being...
Positioned as the pros.
Okay.
Loosely. Anyway, ask us whatever you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So just go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your questions. Make sure you stick around, listen later on in the show. Tiki and I will answer the best one. So... think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. You know how they say certain boxers are predisposed to getting cut in the same spot?
Yeah.
He's cut.
With the eyes.
With the eyes, wherever it might be.
Yep.
I found my weakness.
Which is?
I keep cutting myself. When I go to trim my beard.
Uh-huh. With your shaving?
Yeah.
Really?
This is the third or fourth time this has happened to me.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you shaving up or down?
No, well, it's usually out of haste because we've got a million things going on like you. And, you know, I usually just shave like once a week, uh-huh. right? And the razors, like Mach 3, whatever it is, they're expensive.
Of course they are.
They are really expensive.
They're sharp as hell. That's
30 or 40 bucks for like a pack of six or whatever they are. And I've got very thick hair, so I've got to shave sometimes twice to really get it done, not to mention the top of my hair on my head. So what I'll do is I'll shave, like if I shave under like the chin strap to keep it neat, I'll use the Mach, the good one. And sometimes in the shower, if my wife has a new one in there, I don't want to waste the good one on the head. And two nights ago, I went to just kind of get the cut out of the beard, and it happened again. I don't. There's something about her So I guess I should stop using her blade when I try to trim it up.
Well, it's for the legs.
Gets me
why.
No, I know, but it was brand new.
You know,
gets me in the same spot every single time.
Oh God, I can't remember the name of that. We have
looks like I'm getting the crap beat out of me when I come to work.
We did a
right?
short-term promotion on the show a couple years ago, and it was just like this.
An hour show?
Yeah, it was for a razor thing, but it's not a not the head thing.
I remember that thing. Yeah. It was the kind of thing that you held in your hand, right? Right? You
yes.
held it like almost like a mouse?
Yeah, I can't
And remember. Then you went over your head like that? Yeah,
that,
I remember that.
That thing used to destroy me. But then we did another one because you can't really feel.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
But then we did another one with an electric razor.
I remember it had the three circles.
Yes,
I remember that.
So that's the one I use because it's
You
easy.
Still use it?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I do.
See, but you're not as neurotic about the top of your head.
No.
You don't mind if well, you get that George
I'm
Jefferson look a little
Because I'm completely
bit.
Bald here.
That's
right?
true.
So, like... This whole side is bald. There will never be hair on the top of my head. You'll actually grow hair on
I
the
do.
Top of your head.
But that's why you should be more neurotic than me, because since you have no shadow
that's
here
right.
at
I can,
all.
I can George Jefferson.
Nobody could George Jefferson in 2019. Moving
who are
you kidding?
On up.
Who, you're going to horseshoe it in 2019? Come on, who's doing that?
Did I tell you that one time what? At training camp, Plexico Burris, I forgot what the bet was, but there was some bet that I lost with him.
Yeah.
And this is only in training camp.
During camp.
Which you whatever, anything goes in camp. So he's like, you got to keep the George Jefferson for a week.
Oh, so it looked terrible.
It was garbage.
Oh.
It was awesome.
Was
though.
The sides getting long, too?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, it was getting thick, too.
You have a picture of this anywhere?
Somewhere.
Plex?
Somewhere, but I don't know. I mean, I had a sidekick.
Like, oh,
you didn't have, like, cell phones. You didn't have iPhones, man. Yeah,
no.
I had a sidekick. I don't even know if they took pictures.
You also had a little privacy back then.
Yes.
Which was not a bad thing.
Exactly.
Inbounds, out of bounds. You ready?
Yep, let's go.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. Let's rip through as many as we can. Elvis Dumbreville, 11 seasons in the NFL, four of which were with Joe Flacco and the Ravens. Even so, Dumbreville, no issues sounding off on the Broncos' acquisition of his former teammate, saying to TMZ Sports, quote, it's a big gamble, definitely desperate, no doubt. John Elway did a genius move with Peyton Manning, but unfortunately, Joe Flacco's no Peyton Manning,
yeah.
End quote. He's not wrong.
No.
Inbounds or out of bounds, Dumbreville is right. The Broncos' move to acquire Flacco was made out of desperation.
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT, because they know that they, I mean, we talk about windows all the time. Theirs is like infinitesimal right now. It's like really, really little. And the only way they're going to get there is if they have some sort of positive production from the quarterback position. Their defense is still okay. They were very middle of the road, if not sub-middle of the road last year. I think 22nd in total defense. But there's still great players there. Bradley Chubb they drafted. Vaughn is still there. Vaughn Miller's still
there. Bradley Chubb is great.
He's
good.
He's good.
He's really good.
But, I mean, he for a while he was competing for the Rookie of the Year early in the season. Then he kind of tailed off. As rookies are wont to do because mm-hmm. they're not used to the length. They're not used to 17 weeks. It's a grind. But we'll see. Jury's still out. Their defense is decent.
Mm-hmm.
Their offense was terrible. So I'm saying, yeah, this is desperation.
I agree. I mean, this is pretty easy stuff here. Easy because I don't think Joe Flacco is going to move the needle. But also easy just based on the way humans, especially decision makers, tend to think. One mistake generally leads to another because you become hasty.
Yep.
And when you're hasty in a decision to finally get it right, your judgment is clouded and you lose clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably see things that aren't there or don't see things that are there. This is easy. This is inbounds. And for Denver Broncos to go, with all due respect to Joe, who is a Super Bowl champion, the Denver Broncos are going nowhere with Joe Flacco. I agree, Tiki, inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, now on Wednesday, James Harden scored 42 points against Minnesota, which makes it 31 straight games with over 30 points. However, longtime NBA vet Steven Jackson, remember the video he rolled out when he was smoking the blunt? Who was he getting after? Who was he getting after? Who did he call out? It was a young NBA player. That was Steven Jackson. Talk about old G's.
Now he doesn't want to talk about
Steven Jackson's
anymore.
Old G.
Now he doesn't want to talk about that anymore.
Yeah, I know. But Steven Jackson's not impressed with the performance, I guess, of James Harden, saying, quote,
it'll come to me.
Yeah, I'll get it as well. Seeing him put up all those numbers, it's attractive. I love him as a player, but it doesn't look like he's focused on winning. It doesn't look like the team is focused on winning. End quote. In or out, Steven Jackson's right. James Harden realizes the Warriors are a finals lock. and is more focused on racking up stats than racking up wins.
I think that's out of bounds, BT. I think James Harden wants to rack up wins, and he knows the only way to do it is if he scores 30 points a night. Their team was compromised for so much of this season by injuries. Chris Paul is finally back. But there's not many scoring options right now. And he's been in such a groove that they win when he plays phenomenal. Like you saw last night, 42 points, which extended his streak to 31 straight games, which is unbelievable.
Well over 50% shooting.
The one thing, and this is my one knock on this, his facilitation of his teammates has significantly declined. Remember last year? I mean, he led the league in assists last year, at least for a lot of the season. It's 4 or 5. Last night it was 6. It's just way down from where it used to be earlier in the season, even though he's still at 7 for 7 throughout the season. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he believes that the only way that they can get to the Western Conference Finals and even further is if he does it all himself.
Okay. I'm going to say inbounds here. Now, there was a lot in the preface before it actually got to inbounds, out of bounds. I would take out the part about James Harden realizing the Warriors are a finals lock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that star players think that way.
No.
So I think that that's unfair to James Harden. But I do think that Steven Jackson's right about the element of winning here. And I'm going to use the analogy. Imagine you're chasing Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak for 56 games. You're a baseball player, right?
Yeah.
And let's say you're 0-3 and they're pitching around you. And you know that, maybe you're down 7-2, maybe you're up 8-2, whatever it is. It's the 8th, 9th inning. You're not going to get up again unless something really wacky happens. What do you do? Probably, if you're selfishly, and at that point I wouldn't blame you, chasing the streak, you expand the zone. And you get out of what is winning at bat, a productive baseball at bat. And I think that in chasing the streak, I think the streak is taking on a life of its own.
Yeah.
You can't help but be uber aware of it in the year 2019. Every sports center, every GIF, every tweet, every social media reference about the Rockets is about James Harden. So I do think he is, maybe if he's not even aware of it, I do believe he's sacrificing some winning elements because I don't think he's conditioned to be a two-way winning player for 82 games and then almost 2 months into June. I don't think he's that player.
Are you in or are you out?
And I never have and I never will. Unless he wins the championship, then I'll say, my bad, I was wrong. Earlier this week, which he won't, Antonio Brown requested a trade from the Steelers. The star wideout recorded over 1,000 yards, 6 straight seasons, obviously productive. He scored 67 touchdowns in that span, Teak. Still, last year, a little rocky. At one point, he missed practice with no explanation. Later, he feuded with Big Ben, which resulted in his benching in Week 17. And was an overall distraction in the locker room all year. Inbounds or out of bounds, the team who winds up acquiring AB this offseason will eventually regret it.
Out of bounds.
Whoa.
I think AB is such a talented, as long as you have a quarterback.
Okay. Which is a big what about a strong-minded head coach? Does that matter as well?
Which is a big caveat. You got to have someone. I'm just saying you got to have a quarterback who's throwing the ball downfield with accuracy.
Uh-huh.
And if you have that, then I think Antonio Brown is going to be amazing for you. A good head coach who can control him would also be good as well. But I think he's so productive. And if he goes somewhere new, that act won't be tired.
Yeah.
And, you can deal with it for a year or two until he's past his prime and you can move on from his contract. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say absolutely. And
Daryl Strawberry, by the way. I mean,
Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry. That's who Steven Jackson was. Crushing
Daryl Strawberry
about marijuana. Yeah,
no way. He wasn't getting. No, it was something different. I think we're crossing. Daryl Strawberry. No, it was a basketball player. It was something about. Remember, he was saying you don't want any of the smoke.
I don't know.
It wasn't about stuff. No. Strawberry's cool as a cat.
Strawberry's talking about how.
I know he did say that. That's
about how marijuana's not. It should be illegal.
How it could be a gateway. Yeah. How he used it to get. No, that's two different stories that we're all crossing up. We'll find that Steven Jackson just looked in. Remember, we just lit up that big blunt. We showed the video.
I know.
And he looked
into
the camera, and whatever young player, somebody
could
tweet
us. Because the Strawberry thing just happened.
Yeah, no, I know. But I know Strawberry. Strawberry's Steven Jackson's kind of guy, even though Strawberry's not anymore.
Yeah.
I want to be very clear about that. But the Straw Man knew how to party, and he's from South Central. Straw Man's awesome. All right. Totally, totally disagree with you. Vehemently disagree. The answer is inbounds.
Vehemently.
I'll tell you why. I mean, I'm not even going to waste time on stats. When you're selfish at age 25 and you're selfish at age 30, your selfishness will only increase, sadly, as your talents dry up and you lose a tick speed here because you don't honestly self-assess. And if that's why I said you're going to have a strong-minded head coach to keep him in check. You brought up the quarterback aspect. The answer is inbounds. The money's palatable. The money's fine. And he is a great player. Something is off. I don't know. I don't want to offer too much of a character indictment here, but there's something off with Antonio Brown. I'm going to just say I don't trust him. I don't trust Antonio Brown.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
BT, one we didn't get to is about Odell Beckham Jr.
OBJ.
Do you think he's going to be traded?
I don't.
I don't think so either.
That was one of the inbounds and out of bounds questions.
And I would say, I don't think he's going to be traded.
You know more than me. You think the Giants, even what your buddy Jay said, as a bold prediction, Jay Glazer?
Look, Jay is tied in, and Jay is the man. But Odell Beckham Jr., even though he's had some injury issues, is so explosive and valuable to an offense that's looking to be diverse in its deployment of talent. And if you get rid of him, you got to find somebody to fill that void. If they had someone on roster to do it, I'd say possibly, but they don't right now. So I'm going to say that's not going to happen.
Okay. Hey, it's all about Zion. Only problem is they're not the number one team of the country. We'll get to that next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.